Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Paige Bambushi Bronfelsberger.
Hi, everybody, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. How are you, Mom? What's up?
I'm good, sweetie. Everything is everything. How about you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the heat and just, you know, continuing to work and looking forward to July.
Okay, so am I. I'm enjoying the warm weather. Of course, I'm working, but I'm working at my leisure. Like I say, I'm getting my leisure grind on, and everything is good. You know, can't complain about anything. Everything is good, sweetie. Everything is good.
Okay. All right. So let's let everybody know what we're sipping on. It is Pride Month, guys. And we are
shout out to the community.
And we're sipping on the LGBTQ plus own wine. This is from Ram Cellars, and it's called Rosé of Malbec. And this is by a transgendered wine maker and founder.
Okay. Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Salud. That's really good. I like that. Okay.
Tasty.
All right. So let's get into some pop culture, but we're going to start off a little bit more on the serious side. So the January 6th hearings are underway, and there are several different takeaways. Number one, Rudy Giuliani was intoxicated. Allegedly, he was intoxicated. He claimed he was on Diet Coke. when he advised Trump,
Diet Coke, honey, mixed in with his rum.
Right.
That's rum and Diet Coke.
Right. When he advised Trump on election night to declare victory and say that Trump outright won the election.
That's Trump, so funny how everybody said he was drunk.
Yeah.
Everybody spoke to said he was drunk.
All right. And Trump also pushed fraud claims to raise money while the Trump campaign knew the claim of voter fraud was false. And they raised nearly $250 million to donate to something called the Official Election Defense Fund. And there was no fund that ever existed with that name. It went to a separate entity called Save America PAC. And the remaining millions went to organizations associated with Trump allies. Also, William Barr, who was the highest ranking member of the Trump administration, he affirmed the legitimacy of the election results and disavowed Trump's efforts to claim the election was tainted by fraud. And of course, Fox News didn't even play the hearings live or cut away when the Tucker Carlson show was going on. So, Mom, what are your thoughts on the January 6th hearing?
I just thought it was so funny about Rudy Giuliani. And I mean, a lot of that would explain why he appeared, his drinking, why he appeared on TV with the dye running down the sides. Remember?
I remember.
That one was funny. But anyway, you know, look, Trump has been a crook, a con artist, a grifter for years. And everybody knows that. I just can't imagine, you know what, but they give him money anyway because, you know, people have what they want to believe in. People believe in cults and whatever, but that's nothing new. He has a long history of being a crook, you know, and everybody knows he enriches himself and his friends with his so-called fundraising. And that's another reason why he drug out the so-called, the fraudulent fake-ass investigation for so long, because he had to keep raising money. And he had no other legitimate, well, not that wasn't legitimate, but no other, you know, lie to use to continue to get money from people, mm-hmm. you know? And so he just drug that out as long as he could to the tune of $250 million, you know? So about the hearings, but getting back to the hearings, the hearings to me are very good. The hearings are win-win because maybe, just maybe, some people who haven't been paying attention will pay attention. Some people who maybe didn't realize the gravity of the whole situation may take a minute and sit down and watch it because the numbers are good.
Yeah, the numbers are really good. Like over 20 million, at least.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Really good.
And, you know, maybe some people who really didn't understand because they didn't have the information and they were just getting little sound bites along the way and they really hadn't focused in and didn't understand just how serious it was. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe some of those people are getting more information and maybe they're starting to think a little differently about things. Maybe they start not to just accept things because it's been put out there by certain people, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a win-win. I think it's a win-win situation for our democracy, for our country. I think it's a win-win situation for freedom-loving people, you know, and people who believe in civil rights, you know, mm-hmm. and people who, like I said, simply believe in democracy. I think it's a win-win situation, and I'm very happy that they're doing it.
You know, well, Ma, I agree with you. I think for me, I'm really surprised at how many people have actually tuned in, and that makes me feel
too, daughter, and that's good.
That's really good. Fine. That makes me feel a lot more hopeful. Because maybe the people at the top will be held accountable, you know, this time, because so many times, you know, people in power and politicians are not held accountable for their sins. And so it's a must-see TV. Only thing is it's reality. And we want to make sure that they show us everything.
Let's see what Merrick Garland is going to do, because he's been a big disappointment so far.
Well, that's a lot.
Let's see what he's going to do. You know, wanted him to get in, and you know, so now they wanted him on the SCOTUS, on the Supreme Court, but now he's, the top lawyer. He's a Department of Justice or whatever he is, the top cop or whatever you want to call him. You mm-hmm. know. And let's just see what he's going to do. At this point.
So, you know, let's kind of stay in that lane, but we're going to kind of switch to a different sport. So, Ma, you know, Coach Ron Rivera, right? You know, Ron Rivera.
With the football.
Yes. He's a head coach of the newly named Washington Commanders. And he had to come out with a statement. And I like Coach Ron Rivera. I love his statement.
How's he doing? Is his health better?
As far as we know, he seems to be. Yeah. So he came out with a statement. He said what happened on January 6th was an act of domestic terrorism from a group of citizens attempting to overturn the results of a free and fair election. As a result, lives were lost and the Capitol building was damaged. Now, Ma, why did he have to come out with that statement? Something that we all, you know, all reasonable, sane people could see with their own two eyes. He had to come out with that statement because Jack Del Rio, who was the defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders, was also fined $100,000 by Coach Rivera, because he referred to the events of January 6th as a dust up. He was replying to a tweet and said, "Would love to understand the whole story about why the summer of riots, looting, burning, and the destruction of personal property is never discussed, but this is." Now, he has since issued an apology, talked to the team and apologized, and he deleted his Twitter account. Nobody told him to do that. My question to you, Ma, is, do you think he should be fired, or do you think the $100,000 fine is sufficient and an apology, which he didn't do?
Which he did not do.
He did do. He did.
Oh, he did do. I would let it go with that. I would let it go at that at this time, but I would add something else to it. The one thing I would add to it, I wouldn't be, my other thing would not be to fire him. I wouldn't go there yet, but my next thing would be, I would request that he watch the hearings and then he can assess whether or not he still refers to it as a dust up.
Okay.
I would have him watch the hearings.
And well, here, there's two things with this. Number one,
because that's a teachable moment, because he's talking like somebody who really just doesn't know what's going on.
Number one, two things. I agree with you 100%. He should not be fired. Of course, I think he should have been fined. I think he has to have some type of punishment. I also think that this is an opportunity for dialogue, because How could he be so foolish? Yeah. You know?
Well, teachable moment.
Why?
Sit down and watch it, and then we'll talk about it.
Right. And I
like the hearings.
Now, right. I don't know what his history has been, because, you know, reportedly some other athletes have said that he's done some things in the past, you know, who I don't know about all that, what he's done and, you know, in the locker room and whatnot. But I don't think that this is something to fire him on. Definitely punish him and talk and have a dialogue. See, why does this man think, why would he say something like that? This is a grown man.
Hearing
what,
because to me that is super informative, and it's right there, and it really just sort of, there's a level of objectivity if he's looking at these if he's looking at the film, the footage, and hearing the testimony. So there's a whole lot of, it's not my opinion, your opinion, is this is what happened, and this is the most reliable information that we will ever have, you know. And after he consumes all that information, let's hear what he has to say then.
And no one was condoning any riots and looting. And he's comparing, you know, what happened, you know, during the summer because of George Floyd.
Well, I know he was taking it there, but that's ridiculous. But, you know, that's why I say he needs to see it. And then he will start to understand the difference. He will start to understand the difference between people who are by and large peacefully protesting the murder of an innocent man versus a bunch of crazed weapon carrying people attacking and actually killing some individuals because they're attacking the Capitol.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, let him take a little look and see if he still wants to refer to it as a duster.
Because
I guarantee you, he hasn't sat down and consumed all the information that's being provided right now.
And if he did, then we have an even bigger problem.
Well, then we need to know.
Right.
Then now you need to know that.
We need to know who this person is that's in a place of, you know, authority.
Right. Because if you can sit and watch all that and you still refer to it as a dust up, then you know what? Now it's time for me to consider who's going to replace you. Okay. Now you're talking about, because you're toxic, you know.
Okay. So let's move on to someone else who was in the news. And, you know, he's real popular author, mom. So James Patterson was reflecting on his illustrious career following the release of his autobiography. So the quote came as the stories.
Are you talking about that actor or the writer?
The writer.
Okay. Right. The writer. Okay.
So there was some, well, I'll just get into it. So he was talking about his success, how it came in tandem with the thrillers about the Black detective Alex Cross, and was trying to express disappointment over film adaptations of his novels, saying that he for once liked to stand up and cheer for one of his books on the silver screen. You know, he's done stuff with, Morgan Freeman starring in Kiss the Girls. Also Along Came a Spider. And then there's another one coming up called Run, Rose, Run. So he said, I just wanted to create a character.
Didn't he do something with Tyler Perry too?
Yes, that was also Tyler Perry, Alex Cross.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
I just wanted to create a character who happened to be Black. The 75-year-old said, I would not have tried to write a serious saga about a Black family. It's different in a detective story because the plot is so important. So anyway, he continued on, and some people started to worry when he said that he was concerned for, what is this all about? Can you get a job? Yes, it is harder. Yes, it is even harder for older writers. You don't meet many 52-year-old white males. So apparently he's worried about white men struggling to find work in film, theater, TV, and publishing. And he thinks the problem is just another form of racism. So, Ma, what are your thoughts? Oh, And he's worth between 700 and 800 million. He's the third.
Okay. Well, he's in his 70s too. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't even address that because my mind can't even fathom that because that's so far away from any reality that I know of. I can't even put myself in that position. To me, it just sounds ludicrous. You know, in my
opinion. I don't know if he was out of touch. I don't know if he had another agenda.
Really, right. I don't know if he's, and then if he's talking about ageism, well, he himself proves that he's the exception to that rule.
Because he's 75.
You're right. Look how old he is. So, I mean, I don't know where he's going with that, who he's been sitting down talking to. I guess some angry ass, broke ass white people. I don't know. White men. I don't know who the hell he's talking to. But it's nothing that I can relate to or know of anyone who can relate to that. I mean, ageism hits everybody at some point, but at 52, everything is everything and everybody can do whatever the hell they want to do.
Well, he's 75, so I don't even know why that. he came up with that number.
Listen to me, yeah. I understand that. Right. And that's why I'm saying to you, I mean, maybe he thinks he has some special blessing where he's the exception to the rule. You know, ageism hits everybody else at 52, but not him. You know, I mean, right. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but the way, you know, my personal, you know, interpretation of that is that he just had that minute of foolishness. You know how everybody has like that 5 minutes a day when they're crazy? Mm-hmm. Well, that was his 5 minutes because he was talking sheer nonsense when he said that.
Yeah, yeah. I, like I said, I don't even understand where it came from. To me, it almost just seemed like...
hits anybody at 52, it hits white males less than
everybody
else.
Yeah,
right.
So yeah, you know, I don't like I said that was just really
down the line like Raphael Sadiq.
No, well, I'm gonna say is that I don't know if it was clickbait. I don't know if someone told him to say that, to, you know, if he just was trying to, you know, get some attention for his books, but he doesn't need that. He's had like over how many books? How many books has this man had?
I don't know. Buku.
300? Listen, I don't know. Some ridiculous amount. And he's just very wealthy.
5 minutes a day for malady. Okay? Like okay. That African saying. Okay? Mm-hmm. 5 minutes a day for malady. 5 minutes a day when we all just do craziness. Okay? And that was his 5 minutes when he was just talking stuff that just didn't make any sense at all. Not based in reality at all.
Okay.
So that's my view. That's how I feel about that.
All right, so let's move on to Mr. Don Lemon. So Don Lemon was interviewing Corinne Jean-Pierre on CNN, and Lemon asked, does the president have the stamina physically
shout
and mentally?
To Corinne and John, shout out, I mean, Don.
Nah, come on.
Don't shout out to Don Lemon and Corinne.
All right. What do you mean? Just let me get the question out, physically and mentally.
Yeah, go ahead.
Physically and mentally, do you think to continue on even after 2024? And Corinne Jean-Pierre said, that is not a question that we should be even asking. She said, even she couldn't keep up with Biden. So Ma, was Don Lemon's question out of pocket? I'm just gonna say before you go in.
I'm just gonna respond.
I'm just gonna say that the reality is that I am a Democrat. I'm definitely pretty liberal. This is an important question to ask. Okay, please, everyone has the right to ask if the president is
an octogenarian. Why would you ask somebody in their 80s?
I'm really scared because we need a candidate that people are excited about, someone that's bold, that's electrifying, and Biden, go ahead, Ma.
Here's the thing, we have to deal with reality, and we have to deal with what is right and fair for the country. We know that we have a lifespan. And if you're 80, you are very near the end of the natural lifespan. Okay? We have a life expectancy. We have a life expectancy. And if you're 80, God damn if you ain't near the end of the road.
He could live another 20, 30 years.
Yes, he could. And he will still be near the end of the road. Because the road ain't going, I don't care. How good is your mind at 100? How good is your mind when you dust? Okay? How good is your mind? Okay. When you just totally damn decrepit. Okay? Wait a minute. Here's the thing. He may be good. He may be fine. As far as I'm concerned, he ain't the best right now. But anyway, he may be wonderful. Oh, I love Biden. I did vote for him.
I voted for him too.
But that's it. He better take his ass on out of here. Okay, no. You make it through now. That's it. You're already the oldest fucker that's ever been up there. Okay? All right. Oh, excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Is this on the air? Oh, excuse me. Okay, so wait a minute. Hold it. Wait a minute. Hold. Is that fair to the country? Is that fair to the citizens of the United States of America to have somebody up there that old? Because even if you are wonderful at that age, you still have less energy, less enthusiasm, you have less everything, and you got the biggest burden in the world. You got the most responsible job, most people would say, in the whole world. Okay, the leader of the United States, okay? And here you are needing to take 2 or 3 naps in the afternoon, okay? No.
Who said that he was taking 2 or 3 naps?
I said needing to. I didn't say he took them. I said he needs them.
What is going on here?
No, but I don't care what's going on. Now, no, and I am significantly, I'm young enough to be Biden's daughter, and I know that I don't have the energy I had, you know, when I was younger. So, all I'm saying is, no, Corinne, you need to be smacked because they got you lying already. Talk about that's a question we shouldn't ask. No, we shouldn't ask it because we know the damn answer. We don't need to ask. Don Lemon put it on. Who's going to vote for him?
Don Lemon was right for asking the question. He just asked what we all were thinking.
Was supposed to ask the question.
If he didn't ask the question, he wouldn't have been doing his job.
Didn't Corinne act like Don Lemon did her a degraded justice asking her the question? Get the hell out of here, Corinne. Corinne, now you about to lose credibility right there. Okay? Because you know that was a legit question and you should have given an answer. And what you did was say a little piece of bullshit to keep from answering the question. You should have answered the question.
Yeah.
You should have confronted point by point what people's concerns are if you're serious to help allay people's fears and concerns about his advanced age. And what you do is say, oh, that's not even the question people should ask. BS, Corinne. People should ask the question. It is an obvious question. People, he's already, if not the oldest, one of the oldest, I think he's the oldest. Because it used to be Reagan.
And no, he's the oldest.
And he came in older than Reagan.
Trump was older than Reagan and Biden and is older than Trump.
Yeah. So no. And then he's already declared he's not even halfway through the first term.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
not saying, listen to me, to run this country, we need the best of the best.
And he'll be almost 90, closer to 90 if he did do it.
Oh, we need people who have clarity of mind, have good sound mind, a good strong body, you know, ability to, you know, to be lucid 24/7. You know, we don't need people who are suffering from pre-dementia or you know, on and Alzheimer's, AKA Alzheimer's. We don't need all that to run the country. Not saying he's going to have any of that, but if he's the best that he can be as an octogenarian, he's not going to be up to somebody in the 50s and 60s who are is at the best that they can be.
Right.
He's not going to be. That's unfair to the country for a man that old to continue to run.
Well, I feel that we need...
You know, they had questions about his old ass this time. Yeah. And now you planning 4 years down the road and you're not even halfway through your first term. And then Corinne talks to people like the American public is crazy. Like we don't know what the life expectancy is. He maybe could run again if our life expectancy was 130 or 140 or 50. You know, but our life expectancy is only usually around 80 something. And you know, come on. And if you live beyond that, then you have had been blessed with longevity, like we say in our toast. Well, right?
Yeah. And I think, yes. You know, I thought I was disappointed in her response. And I really like her. I really think she's talented, but that was not good.
She did not answer the question. She just said a couple of BS words and she did not confront the real legitimate issues that if in fact he's putting it out there that he's going to run again, she's going to have to be able to confront those issues and give some good answers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she can't answer good enough to erase the reality, which is that he's in his 80s. So no matter what she is, but for her to act like she's offended because you asked the question, like it's not a real concern and a legitimate question, Corinne, you know, no, I'm calling BS on you for that one right there, Corinne. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So.
And I'll tell you something else. If he runs again, he won't get my vote. And I'm a diehard Democrat and I make no bones about it. I don't hide it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud of it. I'm a diehard Democrat. You know.
Yeah. Me too.
But he will not, if he runs again, he will not get my vote. Because there's no way in hell he's the best candidate. No way in hell.
Okay. Well, I mean, I will agree with you.
Democrats better come up with something better than that. Because if they don't, our ship is sunk already. They better come up with a stronger candidate than that. You know, there are other people. You know, there are other people. You got Beto. You got, what's our caliber, Governor Newsom. You know, come on. No. Come on now. Don't come with that. You know, and I like Joe Biden very much. I think he's a real decent guy.
But, I do too. You know, I think so too. But let's be real. And, you know, I'm nervous about that because, you know, we want a candidate that we are excited about.
We want a strong candidate.
And
we don't want a candidate who need to be going, chilling, you know, drinking wine in his garden or something and relaxing, you know.
Like the Godfather.
You go. We don't want a candidate. And when the Godfather hit that point, he was training Michael.
He was training his son,
you know. Yeah. Come on now. No, you need to... Joe, if you finish up this successfully and you know you still are in good shape and everything, you need to go ahead and enjoy the rest of your life. You need to sit down.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Mom, we're really going to switch gears here. I know you know Faith Evans, a girl, and you know, I think we both like Faith.
What's up with Faith?
Well, I think Faith is doing okay, but she allegedly caught her husband Stevie J cheating. And if you remember a year ago, he accused her of cheating publicly in a video. And they have since made up and apologized. He apologized for making those accusations. Then he filed for divorce later on. But about 4 or 6 weeks ago, he apologized again to Faith, saying he'll do better and he loves her. And he, you know, wants to be married. Blah blah blah.
Right.
So anyway, so
love
Faith
and happiness. Right.
So Faith allegedly DM'd the side chick, and this is what Faith allegedly said. Hi, I think you might be effing my husband. Carry on. He knows that I know, but I wanted you to know. Hey, gal, I might pop up on y'all in Miami. Well, pop up on y'all. Well, not pop up on y'all, but you know what it is. What are your thoughts, Ma? I think Faith is too, I'll say that I think Faith is too good for this. It's not worth her time fight. If this is true, this is all alleged. If she is fighting with a side chick, she does not need to deal with that at this stage of her life or ever. And Faith is a very talented, attractive woman. She, you know, deserves to be in a happy, stable relationship. And that's what I can say.
Let's say Faith, you know, let's strip all that away that she's Faith, okay? Let's say she's, you know, nondescript housewife number one, okay? You're the wife, okay? Whatever your relationship is about, you and this man have made a commitment to each other. Now, whether you take it seriously or you do or you don't, it's the highest commitment that you can give to a relationship, okay? Mm-hmm. They decided to do that. Why on earth do you think you should be calling anybody? If you have any issues, there's the man. Can't you talk to him? There's the husband. There's the one that you screw, sleeps with you, okay? He owes you something. That coleslaw side chick, whatever you want to call her, she don't owe you nothing. And if she's unscrupulous, then she doesn't care about you, okay? Or the whole sanctity of your marriage. Because she's trying to do the same thing you doing, okay? She's trying to get what you got. So if that's her mentality, she doesn't care about you. So why are you condescending to her BS? Your man is there. I guess he comes home. If he ain't coming home, then you got a bigger problem. And you really don't need to call the side piece if he's not coming home. Presuming that the man comes home and y'all sleep together, you talk to him. You don't call nobody. You don't DM. You don't follow. You don't do nothing when you're the wife. Why are you the wife and you acting like some chick in the street? You the wife. Okay, respect yourself. Okay, you ain't got to be Faith. You the wife. You have a commitment from this man. And if that commitment is over and it ain't gonna work, let it be over. But you running up and down the street because he over here screwing this one, that, and the other, you think you're gonna resolve something like that? You're only wasting your energy and making a fool out of yourself. Faith, cut the shit. You ain't 20, you ain't 30. I don't know if you're 50 yet, but you're damn near, okay?
You well, need. He certainly is.
Okay, well, whatever. Faith, you did that with Biggie when you went over somewhere and busted him and, oh, you opened the hotel door and you punched somebody in the face. Funny, all that, this and that. You shouldn't have done it then, but okay, you was only young. What the hell? Forget it. A good story, lots of laughs.
Yeah, she was at in her early 20s.
Stage of the game. You shouldn't have done it at all, ever, but we can laugh at it when you was in your 20s or whatnot doing that. But at this stage of the game, you still doing that bullshit? No. Were you addicted to drama or you what? Or you really don't have any better sense than that? Faith, respect yourself. Respect your relationship. Respect yourself more than anything. You don't DM nobody. You don't call nobody. You don't write notes. You don't follow. You don't threaten. You don't have no conversation with side pieces. You don't have no conversation with somebody that you feel your husband is having an affair with. No. If you and your husband are having problems, your issue is with him. You keep your problems in that household. Like Mel, shout out to Mel Ho. Mel, like Mel told him, he keep his penis in the house. You keep your damn vagina in the house and keep your conversation in the house. What goes on in the street? No. Your commitment is to each other. I'm out.
Okay, well, first off, I feel, you know, weird talking about this if we don't really know exactly what happened. It's just all alleged, but we have to comment on it because it was trending. I think in general, never ever talk to a side person. Never. It's not, like I said, it's not worth your time. It's not going to make you happy. That person is trying to get what you have. It's just a waste of time. And I hope that Faith, you know, finds happiness, because if this is true, I don't know why she would put herself through that, all the emotional turmoil. She has, you know, a bunch of kids, you know, she has a successful career, you know, move on and, you know, find somebody else. There's plenty of men out there that I'm sure will be knocking at her door.
Faith, know your value, girl. Know your value. Okay.
Yeah.
Know your value. And don't forget it. Know your value.
Okay. So we're going to switch again, and we're going to talk about someone that you may not be, you may not know too well, Ma, because I didn't really know her name either. I've seen her. She's an actress. Her name is Jamie Chung. And she starred in pictures such as Dexter, Hangover, and Big Hero 6. She is quoted, she had an interview with Today, and she said, I think it was maybe Today Parent, but anyway, it was Today. And it said, she said, I was terrified of becoming pregnant. I was terrified of putting my life on hold for 2+ years. In my industry, it feels like you're easily forgotten if you don't work within the next month of your last job. Things are so quickly paced in what we do, so it's a compromise that we made together as a couple. She said, people probably think, oh, she's so vain, she didn't want to get pregnant, and it's much more complicated than that, she explained, revealing that she froze her eggs. For me personally, and I will leave it at this, it's like I worked my ass off my entire life to get where I am. I don't want to lose opportunities. I don't want to be resentful. So she's talking about surrogacy, because she kept it quiet for a while. She's now revealing, her and her husband, that they have twins. And she, as
via
seen,
a surrogate.
Via a surrogate. Yes. Right. What are your thoughts on her comments in her career?
That, you know, it's an option. You know, it's an option, because you say what you want to say. It, 9 times out of 10, being pregnant may really have interfered with her career. Some people have been fortunate enough that their pregnancy has actually enhanced their career, mostly if they're on a situational sitcom kind of thing or something like that, you know. But in general, it would be something that would, you know, be somewhat of a barrier, you know, if she's actually, actively engaged in, you know, competing for various parts and so forth. And if there's an alternative, you know, let's say she's vying for a particular role. If there's someone else who is, and she gets pregnant, if there's someone else who's not pregnant, then she'll lose out almost always, you know. They really do still discriminate against people who are pregnant.
Well, they can't legally.
Please, they find ways, unless they can incorporate it into the storyline.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's fortunate, but then you're very limited. That's a very narrow window. You know what I mean?
Well,
there's not a lot of parts that, you know, where you can do that. I understand that was her choice. I mean, I don't see any issue with it.
I understand
the controversy, because
she felt weird about, you know, revealing it, and then other people criticized her. I think
she didn't have to reveal it.
She didn't have to reveal it, but, you know, I think they would know. I think they would know that she was never pregnant, you know, and then she pops up with, you know.
Yeah, right. You know, and then that's an option. And, you know, and then women are very fortunate these days, because they do have that option. You know, and we
women are very fortunate right now.
Well, I mean,
how about the girl? Yeah,
okay, we're not going into abortion stuff. I'm just
I don't mean that, Ma. I said nothing about that. I'm just saying, you say women are fortunate, men are fortunate. Men can have as many kids as they want to and whenever they want.
I wasn't talking men, women versus men.
Okay,
I was talking about now for women, options that women have versus fewer options that women had years ago.
Okay.
Or I meant, you know, within the gender, you know, how things have advanced. I didn't mean versus men, because we know that men can have kids, potentially they can have kids as long as they are alive.
Yeah.
Potentially, you know, Yeah, sure.
Well,
that's a different thing. But they, you know, but then they don't carry the baby. So that's a whole nother thing.
I think it's
that's never an option.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a personal decision. I think she has the right, she has the right to make that decision.
And I think that people should, controversy
and,
there.
And I think that people should respect her decision.
I do too.
I understand many different sides of why people do it and why they don't do it. I do think, also that there is a way to not make women feel bad about whatever decision that they make, because you can also work pregnant. There are some women in the industry that do work until, they just physically can't work anymore. And I also think you decided
most women do, but they're not actors. Most women work pregnant, but they're not actors.
There are actors that work pregnant.
I don't think most of them do. I don't think most of them get hired pregnant.
I think that after you've been in the industry for a long time, I think, maybe you can kind of make yourself.
Well, maybe
I get what you're saying, Ma. They're shining a light on the discrimination of being pregnant.
You know, that happened to me.
Okay. That happened to me. All right, let's go.
It happened to me.
Okay, Ma.
When I was pregnant.
Were you acting?
I applied going for a regular job. They told me to come back. I was big pregnant.
They can't do that. They can't.
You know, they weren't supposed to do it then, but they did. But you know what? But when I went back, I got the job. That is totally, and you were 6 months old because I stayed home the first 6 months with you. Yeah.
Okay.
That really happened. And it was a government job.
Okay.
County.
Okay, local, all right.
I'm just telling you, it's real. I mean, and it wasn't that long ago.
Okay, Ma. So anyway, we're going to move on. Jesus Christ, help us all, everyone. Okay, so we're going to go into some updates, and we're just going to update about Russell Wilson. So Russell Wilson, if you heard the shade that was thrown on him a couple of months ago from former NFL player Channing Crowder, who is now one of the co-hosts of the Pivot podcast, which we really do love. Like every time they drop an episode, I have to listen to it.
He's now one of the co-hosts. He was one of the co-hosts when he was throwing shade at Russ.
Well, he wasn't a co-host. He was a former NFL player. So he's a co-host. Okay. So Russ surprised his wife, Sierra, with a bouquet of flowers. And he, let us all see this on camera when she was leaving the event for 10-1 Rum, which is also a Black-owned rum company. Anyway, the video was captioned, "Stay squared up, my friends." So Ma, do you think that Russ is bothered by people calling him a square by this whole discussion? Or you think he's just having fun with it?
No, I think he's having fun with it. No, no, I don't think he's bothered at all. I think he's aware of it he's responding to it and he's having fun with it. I don't think he's bothered by it at all. Don't forget, we kind of choose how we want to be. You know, think about it. We choose how we want to behave, how we want to conduct ourselves. We choose our personalities after a while. I mean, some people say nature, nurture, and all that, but for the most part, we choose how we want to behave. And Russ chooses to behave like that, and he's good with that. No, he's not bothered by that at all. No.
Okay. Well, I think that he is definitely aware of the discussion about him being a square, but I think that if he is a square, if you want to say he's a square, he's normalizing the term and making it look good and making women want a square and making other men, putting them on notice that maybe I should try working on being a square. So I thought it was really sweet. I love the videos. I don't know them personally, don't really know how their relationship is, but he seems to be treating Sierra with respect and love. And I would like for men to follow that lead, treat their woman with respect and love on them, so.
And we all want what Russ is, which is a rich, sexy, cute square.
Okay. All right. I can tell you've been really tasting
it. Rich, sexy, well-built square. We all looking for that.
Okay. So our top shelf moment of the week is we want to congratulate Tiger Woods on becoming a billionaire. There are three athletes.
And he's taken all number of years off from his career.
He's not taking numbers off from his career. He's still working. Remember he was in rehab. Remember he was rehabbing. He didn't take off.
Oh, he was still working when he was over there in the coma, laid up in the hospital.
He was working on getting himself healthy. So they have three.
They paid him for that time too. Hey, good on Tiger.
Look, I have to figure that out.
Okay. Good on Tiger. No, so, listen, you know I'm only teasing. That is so well. You know,
he's been working since he was four.
Tiger always made bank. He was
working since he was 4 years old. So now.
Four. He was that old? I thought he was about two or three when he started swinging those clubs.
He might have been. You're right. I don't know. Anyway, we have three billionaire athletes. We have currently three billionaire athletes: Michael Jordan, LeBron, and Tiger Woods.
All right. And more coming.
More are coming. All right.
Tiger Woods, Michael, and LeBron. Yes.
Okay. So let's go to your favorite segment, Dear Naomi.
Oh my gosh.
It's not Dear Naomi. It's Naomi Knows Best, but it is Dear Naomi. So, Dear Naomi, my fiance is usually a really kind, loving partner, but in front of his friends, he changes into someone I don't recognize. He's a little younger than me, so I guess that's why I tolerate certain behavior. I'm 32 and he's 27. We've been together for 3 years, under the same roof 1 year. When it's just us, he's attentive, he listens to me, we communicate. When his friends are over, they play video games, smoke weed, and eat sunflower seeds. Sometimes when his friends are around, I look over at his normally attractive face and roll my eyes in disgust. Our biggest fights have been in front of his friends. The last one involved me throwing a dish of baked ziti in the garbage disposal after he said my ziti was lacking flavor. He said this in front of three dudes, his best friends from high school. I was so pissed. I work, I clean, and I come home to a dirty place as he works from home and doesn't lift a finger. I go into an office. I cook for him almost every day, and three or four of his friends, they're greedy, unappreciative. We never fight when it's just the two of us. It's always when we have an audience, his friends. I don't know if my fiance is trying to impress them or if he thinks pissing me off is funny. I'm almost ready to walk away from my fiance over his friends. What should I do? Please help.
Okay. Did you tell me they live together?
Yes. They've been living together for a year.
Mistake number one. Move out. She works. She seems totally self-sufficient. Move out. He doesn't appreciate you. He's not committed to you. And he is insensitive. Move out and see where your relationship goes from there. Move out. Tell him how you feel, but move out. Don't tell him how you feel and stay there. Move out. You were giving him everything that you could ever give him if you were married to him. And you're not married to him. He does not appreciate you. He takes you for granted. Sorry about that. Takes you for granted. And you are wasting your time. And he's telling you and showing you that he's not appreciating anything. And what's with the friends? What you mean friends? Are they invited to dinner? What's going on with that? That seems very childish. Well, how often are the friends over? Are they special guests? Do they live there? What kind of friends? That's a whole nother issue. You need to tell them how you feel, but you need to move out. If you tell him how you feel and you stay there, then he knows you are not a serious person. Then he can continue on with whatever he's doing. And why should he bother change? He has no incentive to change. He's getting everything he can possibly get out of you. So why should he change? Move out. And if the relationship is going to grow and survive, it will. But you need to move out. That's the first step, and everything else will follow. And either you make it or you don't, but you need to pack your stuff and go. For your own best interests, you need to leave. That's it.
All right, Mom, I like that advice. I hope that she takes it.
Well, let's see how it goes. Maybe we'll hear back, and you know, and you they can let us know how she's doing, what she decided to do. Okay.
Hey guys, that's another thing. Like you just said, Ma. You know, if you have sent us a letter, you know, email us back, let us know at allthingspaysyou@gmail.com or DM us.
Yeah, give us
direct message us at the Bambushi Happy Hour and give us an update.
There you go.
Ma, anything you want to say before we go?
I want to tell everyone to take care of themselves. Go vote or your elections, you know, whenever they happen, whatever, you know, go vote in your communities and take care of yourself. And people still get COVID, you know, I mean, you know, we've gotten more relaxed and more accustomed to it, but people still get COVID. If you haven't been vaccinated, do it. It helps you. It's your best defense. And take care of yourself and enjoy your summer.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Follow the Bambushi Happy Hour on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also at All Things Bijou. Subscribe to our YouTube page, the home of the Bambushi Happy Hour, at All Things Bijou. All right, guys, bye.
Bye.